Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Political hitmen.
I'm Howie Silberger, your political hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. Boy, do we have a show for you today. What a show. I want to open the mailbag. I don't do that very often, but I got a few pieces of mail based on the show we did last time. So I want to open this mailbag, and I want to talk to you about somebody. I want to answer some of the letters we got, because I think it's important that if people are going to take their time to write to me, I'm going to take my time to answer them. I also want to tell you about the horrific increase in anti-Judaism happening in America. And it's no coincidence that we're now entering the 9 days, 9 days leading up to the saddest day in Judaism. And it's pretty horrific what's happening in America. So I want to share that with you, because I think it's important that we understand that history does repeat itself, and that the hatred that American Jews are facing today is the same hatred that Jews have faced for centuries and the same hatred that Jews have faced for millennia. So I think it's important that we talk about this. I know I focus a lot on Jewish hatred in America, because it's hard to understand why Jews are still living in America. But this is something we got to talk about. And so I want to tell you about the Jew hatred in America, and how it's manifested itself in the last week. So much has happened over the last week. It's impossible. I could fill up two shows talking about what's happened in the last week in America when it comes to Jew hatred. How sad is that? This is the Political Hitman. My name is Howie Silberger. You could join me in the chat room by going to IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com and clicking on that button on the top of the page that says chat room. Well, it says listen live chat room. And you could join me in the chat room there. You could call in. The numbers are on the top of the page on Israel News Talk Radio. I'll give them to you anyway. In North America, the number is 301-768-4841. In Israel, the number is 02-65-00151. I'm Howie Silberger. This is Political Hitman on Israel News Talk Radio.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Political hitman.
I'm Howie Silberger, your political hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. Feel free to join me in the chat room on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. You could also call in. The show is live. In North America, the number is 301-768-4841. In Israel, the number is 02-65-00151. So we have entered the 9 days leading up to the saddest day in Judaism, Tisha B'Av. And these 9 days commemorate the 9 days that that Jerusalem was under siege before the destruction of the Holy Jewish Temple. And it is only fitting that these 9 days remind us how much Jew hatred could lead to destruction. These 9 days remind us that as we go forward, when the Jew hatred gets to a point, when it gets to a point where it's uncontrollable, disaster could happen. And so it is not overly surprising, it's not crazy surprising, that right here at the beginning of the 9 days, America's Jew hatred has gone nuts, has really topped itself. So I want to start the story with something that happened right at the beginning of the week, at the end of last week, beginning of this week, where an American presenter, a host of an American talk show, and he's also the host of American Game Show on television, a nationally broadcast American Game Show, decided to insult Jews and white people on his radio program. And so Nick Cannon, the man's name is Nick Cannon, he decided to talk about Jewish-owned media and bring out all the anti-Jewish tropes that we thought had disappeared a long time ago but still exist today. And so Nick Cannon, who went out and said these anti-Jewish things, he was fired from one of his jobs. He was fired from his producing job. He produced a bunch of TV shows for CBS. CBS fired him immediately. The Jewish owner of CBS, Sharon Redstone, said that kind of behavior is not acceptable on her network, and she won't hire people. She won't keep people employed on her network if they behave the way Nick Cannon behaved. Disney-owned Fox kept Nick Cannon on the show. They haven't fired him. They haven't come up with very much statement, but they haven't fired him. Now, we have to remember that Disney is also the same company that fired Jewish Roseanne Barr when she made a cryptic remark that they deemed racist. So the double standard is there. Former New York Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly earlier last week said that the Jewish communities in America should follow the example of those in Europe and put security measures in place in synagogues. He warned that we are in a dangerous place in history. That's an exact quote. We are in a dangerous place in history. He explained, budget cuts due to the coronavirus lockdown and an erosion of respect for police officers are creating a perfect storm that will see safety decline in New York and elsewhere. Kelly also said, in the U.S., the Jewish community needs to be more alert about who is entering community premises. He warned that in today's environment, synagogues cannot be fully open environments. Now, Kelly, who was the former police commissioner of New York City, now heads the Anti-Semitism Accountability Project and has visited 10 European countries to meet with the governments and faith leaders to examine how anti-Semitism is being tackled on the continent in comparison with the U.S. He said, anti-Semitism is not new. Neo-Nazis have never gone away, and populism is helping them flex their muscles. He acknowledged that the threat was slightly different in two areas to the United States. In France, for example, anti-Semitism is driven by the left's support of the boycott, divestment, and sanction movement, and the Muslim communities combined with the government, which, thanks to a natural cultural secularism, is slow to recognize the religious rights of minorities. Consequently, people can walk around with openly anti-Semitic messages on their shirts without consequence, he said, but People cannot walk around with openly Jewish symbols in these countries for fear of being beaten up, possibly killed. Nonetheless, Jewish groups in the U.S. should learn from the European example in putting stronger measures in place. An attempted attack on a synagogue on Yom Kippur last year in the German town of Halle was foiled, saving 68 souls inside the building after the gunman failed to gain entry, although he went on to kill two bystanders. By contrast, Kelly raised the example of the Pittsburgh Tree of Life Synagogue shooting in October 2018, in which 11 people were murdered after a gunman walked in and opened fire. But while anti-Jewism is on the rise, Kelly said that racism was not a problem endemic to the United States police force itself. So all these fake rallies calling for the defunding or the abolishment of the police forces, There's no endemic racism in the police force. It's all fake. It's all just a ploy to overthrow the government there. I saw the video of George Floyd's murder, he said, and it was a shock. I have seen police brutality, but this is normally a rash act. This was deliberate, studied. It was the worst incident of police brutality I've ever seen. And don't forget, this guy is the former police commissioner of the New York City Police Department. The outrage is understandable, Kelly acknowledged, but added, this is not what police officers do. It doesn't happen all the time. people become police officers to do good and to risk their lives. Now, drawing on the lessons of a 47-year career with the New York Police Department, including two terms as commissioner, once between 92 and 94, and again in 2002 until 2013, makes him both the longest-serving police commissioner and the only commissioner to hold two non-consecutive terms. Kelly said that as commissioner, he placed a particular emphasis on ensuring the force reflected diversity within the city. So Kelly said that the New York City Police Department ensured that the police officers understood the diversity of the city. So that was the first two things that happened this past week concerning Judaism and the hatred of it in North America. The third thing happened yesterday. And that is, and this one here is probably the scariest one of them all. It's a lot worse than Nick Cannon parroting Louis Farrakhan on his radio show. This is much worse. Twitter, the most influential of the social media groups, has deemed the Star of David a hateful imagery. And it's locking user accounts that display the Star of David. The Campaign Against Anti-Semitism has reported that several Twitter users have contacted them in recent days to report that their account has been locked by the social media platform. The reason given, according to the messages they received from Twitter, we have determined that this account violated the Twitter rules, specifically for violating our rules against posting hateful imagery. You may not use hateful images or symbols in your profile image or your profile header. As a result, we have locked your account, they said. The image in question ranged from a white Star of David in a graffiti style to a superimposition of the modern blue Star of David on a flag of Israel spliced with yellow stars Jews were forced to wear by the Nazis to a montage of yellow stars. Steven Silverman, the director of investigations and enforcement at Campaign Against Antisemitism, said, "So often social media companies claim they lack the resources to tackle hate on their platforms, but Twitter has put the lie to that claim by demonstrating that it does have the resources, but chooses to target the benign symbol of a victimized minority instead of the countless racists who use its platforms with impunity. Twitter must immediately restore these accounts, apologize to the owners, and pledge to finally take robust actions against the anti-Semites whom it has enabled for so long." Now, this is not the first time that Twitter has come in for criticism over apparent endemic anti-Judaism. Last week, the platform was accused of inciting anti-Jewish hatred after it refused to take down the hashtag Jewish privilege when it began trending. Now, the tag was used to promote anti-Jewish messages on the platform, such as Jewish privilege is being born into a world where your ancestors have progressively transformed an entire civilization into a Jewish utopia by inverting its formerly Christian values into exact opposites. And Jewish privilege is running the slave trade, owning the slave ships and owning the cotton plantations, but constantly blaming slavery on white people with the very media you completely control. Eventually, Jewish activists fought back, and they used the hashtag Jewish privilege to highlight anti-Jewish experiences that they've had and their families faced over the years. Silverman added, "It's deplorable enough that Twitter consistently fails to act against anti-Jewism on its platform, but now is taking action against Jews for the simple crime of showing pride in their identity by displaying a Star of David. It never fails to astound just how low Twitter is prepared to go." So, social media, American social media, the most influential of all American services, has now deemed the Star of David a racist symbol. Now you shouldn't be surprised, because they also deemed crosswalks a racist symbol. The idea of racism in the United States has become a joke, and fighting racism in the United States has become a parody of itself. But this is not a parody. This kind of hatred, the banning of the Star of David, should be very concerning to everyone. It should be very disconcerting to everyone. Everybody should be extremely, Jewish or not, you should be extremely, extremely nervous about Twitter attacking the Star of David. The reason for that is we all know history. And if you understand history and you understand that history repeats itself, when you attack one symbol and you attack one religion, you're attacking all religions. It won't be long before Twitter bans the cross. I'm Howie Silberger. This is Political Hitman on Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you know this psalm and many others were composed by a Jewish shepherd and musician who later became a king? Would you like to know some of the inner meanings of psalms to help you connect with God and strengthen your soul? An exciting and easy-to-read book is now available, which will help you do just that. Software for the Soul, Psalms for Everyone, available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. Software for the Soul.
Modesty at the beach? It isn't just about body image. It's about feeling good. Modest swimsuits, so we don't get burned by the sun.
So we won't get ogled by strangers.
So we'll feel free to express ourselves without the need to expose ourselves.
Let Marcy Modest help you to cover up what you want, how you want.
Made in Israel.
Visit MarcyModest.com. That's M-A-R-S-E-A Modest.com.
And get a 10% discount on your first purchase.
Two new shows on Israel News Talk Radio.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel?
Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Political Hitman.
I'm Howie Silberger, your political hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. You could feel free to join me in the chat room by going to IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com and clicking on that big button that says Listen Live Chat Room. I'm in the chat room the entire show. And the conversation in the chat room is always interesting on Israel News Talk Radio. You could also feel free to call in. The numbers to call in North America is 301-768-4841. In Israel, the number is 02-6500-151. As I've said in previous shows, I don't mind listening to your point of view. You could agree with me or disagree with me, and that's fine. Either way is fine. That's why we have open lines, so you can call in and express your opinion. I don't mind if you use a fake name, and I don't mind if you disguise your voice. It doesn't bother me. The only thing I ask is that you be respectful to our listenership. So language and content has to be family friendly. Let's put it that way. So right now we're going to go to the phones. There's a gentleman on the phone who's using a voice distorter and doesn't want to give his name. But let's find out what he has to say. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. It's kind of hard to hear you.
Okay. I will try to speak a little louder, but this is pretty much as loud as I go. What's on your mind?
All right. I'm calling from the U.S. at the moment.
Okay.
just wanted to comment a bit about some of the topics that you were going over. I think that a lot of the general public doesn't fully grasp the full situation in the United States. I mean, as you know, there's an election coming up, the presidential election, and recently we just had the primaries, and a lot of incumbent Democrats were attempted to be taken down, which is unlike the policy of the Democratic Party. And I was incredibly involved in the election and the different political parties on the side of Israel, obviously. And
okay, were you involved with Democrats? Were you involved with Democrats or the Republicans?
So I try to stay neutral, but based on the district that I'm in at the time, I was helping out the Democratic person because of the fact that the person challenging him was part of what we would call the AOC gang, which is incredibly anti-Israeli.
Right.
So there was a couple different cases of Democratic incumbents trying to be challenged by these very, very far-left people who are incredibly anti-Israeli, and that's the main thing. But another part of it is that, sadly, the supposed presidential-elect Biden is in not great health, and because of that, there's a lot of conspiracy around the thought that, you know, God forbid something could happen to him while he's in office and then something could take over. And a lot of fingers point to the fact that these very far left people are attempting to take these incumbents down, and maybe AOC is trying to consolidate power to eventually do something regarding that. An interesting thing to just think about is the fact that Pelosi, if a lot more of the left-wing, far-left people take over, Pelosi's not going to last because she's not popular at all with these far-left liberals. So,
I'm stuck here on a time refrain. Let me ask you: where do you see the election? Do you see Donald Trump winning again in November?
It's very hard to tell at the time at now. Because of the fact that we learned from 2016 that polling is not accurate. So if we were going based off of just polling data, then it looks like Biden is leading ahead. But like I said, we don't know if that's accurate. So it's interesting to see what's going to happen. I honestly don't have a clue. Either way, though, Israel needs to be prepared for the possibility that they're going to be a lot more alone. And luckily, the country has begun to do that militarily and economically through by showing that they're actually a powerhouse in a lot of different things like technology. So they're beginning to move in that direction of being more independent, but that process is going to need to be sped up if Biden does win, because it's going to be incredibly difficult for when the terrible thing, which is going to happen when Iran, a situation with Iran starts out, and we might not have the U.S. to help us out.
All right. So just today, the Democratic Party has said that they are trying to get rid of the filibuster in Congress, which means that they want to get rid of the 60 congressmen that have to vote for something to pass. They want to get rid of that rule, and then kind of have just show of hands and majority rules. Do you think that that's going to affect the way the United States deals with minorities like Jews or blacks? And how do you think that's going to affect anything if the Democratic Party comes in?
Well, it's going to be quite difficult to do something that radical and pass something that radical. I would be interested to monitor it more before I really have an idea of how it will affect things. In general, though, it sounds harsh to say, but I don't think that Congress actually cares about the Jewish minority at all. And yeah, it's harsh, but it's true. I've seen it. They don't really provide that much support as they can to the Jewish minority, and anti-Semitism is on the rise, and I see it every day with people I know who are just saying, you know, America's gone crazy, we're just going to move to Israel now. I mean, I'm doing that, so...
You're making Aliyah? You're moving to Israel?
Well, I traveled back and forth between Israel a lot, and just because of the nature of my work, and so I'm actually moving back there for a bit longer following the election.
Well, do you think it's safe for Jews in America? I've been saying for weeks on the show that that the time for Jews in America has come to an end, and it's time for Jews to move to Israel. Do you agree with that statement, or do you think that there's still hope for the American Jewish community?
So, I think for most Jews who aren't right now helping in terms of the political spectrum, I think that it's their time to move. I really believe in that. But those similar to me, to what I'm doing and people I know are doing, trying to hold on to, you know, a pro-Jewish group in Congress and in the government in general, need to continue doing that. And I mean, you know, partially you can do that from Israel, but it's important to be here and go to Washington and do things like that, like AIPAC and NORPAC, so on and so forth.
But why is that important? If the Jewish community moves out, let's say theoretically speaking, the majority of Jews move to Israel. I know it's not going to happen, but let's assume that the majority of Jewish Americans are going to move to Israel. Let's say they pick up tomorrow and decide to take off. Why would it be important to keep lobbying Congress through AIPAC and these other groups if there are no Jews there, or a really, really small minority of Jews there?
The important part is helping out with the process of Israel moving away from the United States. Israel needs a superpower in general. That's just the way that the world works. Every country that's small like Israel needs a superpower to help them behind. And so if they want to continue having the U.S. pushing them, we need some people to continue lobbying to have the, you know, United States support Israel at all. There's always going to be a small amount or a large amount or just some amount of people in Congress and in the government who support Israel. We need to continue having them teach others about how good of an asset Israel is.
You don't think Israel could survive without the friendship of the United States?
I mean, there's a possibility of it happening, but it's going to be very difficult.
I'll tell you that 20 years ago, a little more than 20 years ago, I confronted Yossi Beilin, and we had a conversation. He was the deputy foreign minister of the State of Israel at the time. And we had a conversation, and he said very clearly, we don't need American money. We don't need American armaments. We don't need anything. He says, Israel's GDP is high enough. We make enough money, and we have enough expertise to do everything on our own. We really don't need America. Do you think things have changed since Yossi Beilin said that maybe 25 years ago?
I think that the importance of America is not entirely due to the GDP or due to the economy. The Israelis have proven that they can take care of themselves in that respect. I mean, look, Israel's called the Silicon Valley of the Middle East, and practically of the world, in fact. I mean, the amount of technology. So they're fine on the economic front. But more where it's important is intelligence and the fact that there's cooperation in that respect. In the current way that the Middle Eastern theater is set up with Iran and Hezbollah and the axis of evil, we can't defeat them on our own, and we need the U.S. or Russia or one of the superpowers to at least help us a little bit. And like I said, we're coming very close to that time where there is going to be a conflict. Just yesterday, the Israelis struck Damascus, killing a Hezbollah soldier, a general actually, and now are on high alert for retaliation from Lebanon. So who knows, maybe we're right around the corner from a conflict, but we're going to need the U.S.'s help if we're going to make it through that. If Iran was out of the picture, though, it would be very different. We probably would be fine.
Caller, thank you so much for calling in. I'm just out of time for the segment. Thank you so much for calling in. Please feel free to call back. I'd love to talk to you again. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks. Take care.
You too. I'm Howie Silberger. You could call in too in North America, 301-768-4841. In Israel, 02-650-0151. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, I want to open the mailbag. I want to read you a couple of letters that I got from listeners reacting to the last show when I spoke about cheeseburgers and how cheeseburgers are promoting assimilation. I'm Howie Silberger. This is the Political Hitman on Israel News Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel? Shalom,
I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Political hitman.
I'm Howie Silbergard, and this is Political Hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. You can feel free to join me in the chat room on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Just click on that button that says chat room, and you will be in the chat room. The conversation is always interesting in the chat room. We are a live show, which means you could call in. The numbers to call, 301-768-4841 in North America. In Israel, the number is 0265-00151. If you didn't write those numbers down, and I have a feeling that some of you probably didn't, you could always get those numbers on the top of the page on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. So I hardly ever do this, and I really should do this more often because it's fun. I never open up the mailbag. I read every email. I don't respond to all of them because some of them there's just nothing to respond to, or the ones that need response I give response to, but I don't respond to everything. But I like to sometimes highlight a couple of emails on the show. Just to show you that some of the feedback that we get, I appreciate all feedback, positive or negative. I always appreciate feedback. You can't get better at doing something, and you can't be better at something unless people give you feedback. So I always appreciate when people feedback. I'm going to share them in the order that I think of importance here, with interest and discussion wise. So I will give you the first one. First one came from a guy named Michael. And what Michael wrote was, Howie, you're... one second. Before I even get to the letters, let me just remind those of you who didn't hear the last show. I was talking about assimilation through food, that Jews who eat food that pretends to be non-kosher food, so bacon bits that aren't real bacon bits, or turkey bacon, or cheeseburgers with a veggie burger and cheese, are really buying into the whole assimilation thing and promoting assimilation. By eating that kind of food, you're promoting assimilation. That's essentially what I said last show. So we got a couple of responses, and I just want to share them with you. Howie, you're right. In USA, assimilation is high because many Jews want to be like Gentiles, and others just enjoy the comfort of having, in this case, all the quote kosher unquote options. But you're wrong in this case. Jews in the USA are in the galut of their minds. He's saying the Jews in the United States are in the diaspora of their minds. There is nothing in Israel that you cannot get here. There's only one thing, actually two things that you cannot get here. I'm assuming here means in the United States. It's not exactly clear what he's saying here, but I'm assuming when he says that there's nothing in Israel that you can't get here, he's referring to the U.S., number one, the actual land of Israel, and number two, being closer to God and living on the land. Eating fake pork and cheese doesn't make someone assimilated. That's like saying I'm Italian because of all the pasta I've eaten, or Japanese because one eats sushi, or Chinese from eating all the Chinese food. I never heard of this Xmas Day tradition. Maybe by secular Jews, he asks. And I don't know anyone who does anything like that. I highly doubt one person's quest to have his parents eat non-kosher started a nationwide tradition. Then he continues with, my son's yeshiva, which is a Jewish religious institution, a Jewish school, have great traditions of having father-son learning on the 25th of December. So on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day, they learn. Bottom line is that the religious Jews who care that this fake food is kosher are not assimilating. They still have the Torah, synagogues, and Jewish schools. They are not ready for the secularism of the kibbutz movement. If you're right, and if what you said is right, he said, then I am a Jewish, Chinese, Italian, Mexican. I know someone who grew up in a non-Jewish home, and apparently, according to this person, pork and crab is very good, he said. Personally, I had a revelation the first time I heard that you can get tapeworm from pork. I said to myself, God knows what he's doing. I must have been around 8 years old at the time. I hear this year that you could still get tapeworm from pork. But thanks, I'll pass. I'm so turned off, I don't want to try it. I did try a long time ago, he says, bacon bits, fake bacon pieces, I used to put into my fried eggs. The novelty wore off, and I'm no longer interested in this fake or real stuff. All the best, Michael. Michael, thank you so much for this response. I appreciate it. You're right. In America, you can't get the actual land of Israel, and you can't be closer to God than you are when you are in Israel. You're 100% right. All right. I might be wrong. Like I said, I express my opinion. You're entitled to your opinion. I'm entitled to my opinion. I appreciate you expressing yours. I appreciate you accepting me expressing mine. And you may be right. I could have been wrong on that subject. A lot of people told me I'm crazy. And I even pointed out the last show that that every time I talk about it, and I talk about it every couple of, you know, every few years, I bring up the topic. And every time I talk about it, somebody tells me, Howie, you're nuts. So it's possible. The second letter was more interesting, I'd say. It said, Dear Howie, I don't eat bacon from pig because it is greasy. Generally, neither me or my family eat pig meat because it is really greasy. Although we sometimes consume ham because it is delicious. And we are neither Jewish nor Muslim. We are Armenians. Let me be conclusive. To eat pork is not healthy, he wrote. In fact, to consume too much beef is neither. Come on, Howie. It is the 21st century. You need to move on. You say Jewish people must be different because God commanded you. Excuse me. Baloney. Who heard or saw God speak to Jews? And in what language? Let us say you are right and God exists. Where was God during the bloody centuries, during unwanted wars? People were massacred. This side or that side is not the issue. Where was God when the Turks massacred almost 2.2 million Armenians during World War I? Where was God when 6 million poor Jews were humiliated, starved, beaten, gassed, thrown to the fire? Some kids were even alive, I heard. Why did not he, she, whatever gender you like, stop stupid Nazis to do that? And so on and so on. And by the way, turkey bacon tastes excellent, kosher or not. Try it. Nothing would happen to you, but keep it to yourself. All right, so this one's a little more interesting because there's a lot more meat in it. Where was God during the Holocaust and the Armenian genocide and all the other evil things? Well, God was there. It's obvious to me that God was there because I'm still here. My ancestors, my grandparents, were in concentration camps. And there was very little chance of them surviving. Yet they survived, and I'm here. And that, to me, and Judaism is here. And I am speaking right now on a radio station in the independent state of Israel, which is Jewish, the Jewish homeland, run by Jews. I think that is an indication that God was there. I think the fact that Armenians still exist is an indication that the Turks didn't wipe out all of Armenia, is an indication that God was there. Why didn't God stop him before? I can't answer that question. I'm not God. God has his message. God has his plan. and I am not one to question God's plan. But I am one to recognize that God was there and God stopped it before all Jews were wiped out. The Jews have been the most persecuted nation in the world, yet we still exist. And that to me is proof enough that God exists. So you could be angry at God, and that's fine. You could ask God for you could say that, you know, your belief in God is shaken. That's fine too. But at the end of the day, I think the proof is pretty clear that since Jews exist, since Armenians exist, God had a hand in the survival of these nations. To me, it's crystal clear. Now, it might not be crystal clear to a lot of people, and that's fine. Like I said before, you're entitled to believe what you want to believe. I'm entitled to believe what I believe. But to me, that is a clear indication. Jews won the Holocaust. I know we're always depicted as the victim, but in my opinion, we are the victors. We won. We're still here. The Nazis aren't. And that says a lot. So where was God to stop these stupid Nazis? Well, he did stop them. He stopped them at 6 million. Unfortunately, he didn't stop them before that, but he stopped them at 6 million. The Nazi war machine was almost impossible to stop, and yet it stalled and stopped and died. And the Jews are still here. The Holocaust didn't happen. I mean, it happened, but what I'm saying is the Holocaust that Hitler had planned didn't happen. Let me just rephrase that before someone takes that out of context, clips it up, and makes it sound like I'm a Holocaust denier. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the Holocaust that Hitler had planned did not happen. We survived. Jews are still here. I'm talking on a Jewish radio station in a Jewish country. You can't beat that for proof of existence of God. So this guy called himself Kambitz. I want to thank you for the letter, Kambitz. I appreciate the feedback, and I'd love to hear from a lot more people. So feel free to email me. My email address is available on the Political Hitman page on Israel News Talk Radio. You can feel free to email me all the feedback you want. But it's always more fun when you call into the show, and I appreciate every call. So I want to thank the caller who called in. I don't know his name. I don't know who he was, but thank you so much for the phone call. That was a very interesting call, and I hope that he calls back in future shows and we could talk a little more, because there's a lot more questions I had for him. Fortunately, we have a time constraint on the show, but I had a lot more questions for him, so I'm hoping that he calls back. I want to thank you all for tuning in, and I know that that I'll be back again next week, when we could talk again right here on Israel News Talk Radio, because this is where the fun comes in, talking to you. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you again next week.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, Then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.